folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart, inviting you once again, as I do each week, to spend an hour with me, just like we would in the privacy of our own living room, in person, talking about current events, conspiracy theories, having some laughs over some comedy, listening to some music, talking about some heavy and not so heavy topics, just having a fun discussion, bouncing around like bumblebees from flower to flower or from cloud to cloud. My clips are so intense and fast-paced sometimes I feel like it's kind of like speed dating. Kicking stuff around, you know, there are things that I'm going to share with you that you might not be on board with, or you might not understand, you might not totally agree with, but that's what makes us friends. And cannolis is we're all entitled to our own opinion, we're entitled to have differences. We can talk about these things respectfully and share our thoughts and feelings honestly. This is a safe space. That's such a popular term nowadays, but it's a safe space as long as you have a head on your shoulders and you understand that I'm not entirely politically correct. So here it is. I am who I am. You are who you are. Hopefully we enjoy each other's company. I've kept you coming back here every week. There's a reason for that, because we share some things in common. I don't always agree with some of the clips that I play, but I'm putting it out there for your consumption, for your knowledge, for you to be able to decide what you think is true and what you think is false or deception. That's what part of this is about. We're learning here. Not only are we teaching each other, because as I get feedback from you, I know what tweaks you. I'm starting to find out what you want to hear more about, which is great. I'm sort of morphing a little bit in that playing some content that some of you have asked specifically about topics that you're curious about, but I'm also teaching. I just wonder how many people out there get my weird sense of humor and my snarkiness when I play a clip and then play a quick comedy clip or a particular line of music. I'm just wondering how many of you are really truly on my wavelength and you're getting the references that I'm throwing, because I'm kind of a smartass, in case you haven't figured it out yet. And I'm just wondering how many of you are getting these references and going, oh, that was funny, or that was pretty rough. But it's about learning, and we learn things when we enjoy them. If we don't enjoy the surroundings in which we're at, we have the free will to leave, just like you guys could shut that dial off anytime that you want. I don't have to do this. I spend hours a week bringing you this content. I could turn around and walk away. I've done it before. And it would be what it is. Choose a different place to talk about the things I want to talk about. Take a break. Maybe put it into written word. Oh, by the way, that's going to come. It will get there. But there are many things that I'm working on, and I'm extremely busy, both in my professional and in my personal life, as are you. And that's why I value your company so much every week. Some of the things that I've been sharing with you, especially since the latter part of last year in January going forward, are to let you form your own opinions. Are you seeing the switch yet? Are you seeing the light? And when I say that, I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, because that's not how I roll. It may come off that way sometimes, but I truly don't mean to be that way. I'm just straightforward and a straight shooter, and I call them like I see them. But I probably should pepper some of what I say a little bit sometimes with maybe a disclaimer here or there, or maybe I should elaborate a little bit more when I talk about something. But so many of you are not only starting to wake up, you're putting the puzzle pieces together, and you're starting to see what I've been telling you for years. This is a pivotal point in our future, and there are lots of lies and deceptions and a whole bunch of stuff swirling around under the surface that is now starting to come to light again, like we talked about when I spoke about the year-end show. Some of the things that we're seeing coming really need to happen, but you guys are getting it on your own. You're formulating opinions. I've had some feedback on some of the clips that I've played, and you're like, why did you even play that one that was like so obviously bogus? Maybe I played that clip to see how many people recognized that it was obviously bogus. I'm very, very careful about vetting my sources. But what I'm trying to say is there may be a clip out there that's got a certain spin on it that I'm going to play for you to see if it pings with you, where you're picking up, that's a bunch of crap, or that's really true. true. Most of what I share is conspiracy theory. It may be labeled, but we've talked about this before on the show lots of times. How many conspiracy theories ended up being real? They want us to think that we're crazy. One of the things that I wanted to go into tonight is I spoke last week about how we are the human interface for the computer era, for this transhumanism, but literally we're the physical interface for this computer system that they're trying to build. And I'm not sure how many of you are actually down with that yet, as far as, I mean, not acquiescing by any means. Obviously, we're not, right? We don't want that to happen. We're totally against that. But how many of you really are open to believing that? And there's a clip or two that I'm going to share with you tonight that is going to further expound upon that and back up what I told you last week. Some of what I show you and share with you is in line with what I see in vision. Sometimes I say things to you that you're like, wow, that sounds pretty far out there. And then, boom, I'm praying on it. I'm like, I need clips to substantiate this. Or there's a clip that I've saved in my bucket to substantiate what I've said to bring out at a later time. And that's what I did tonight. There's a couple of them. So pay attention to those. You'll know them when you hear them. But they're standing behind what I've told you as far as us being the battery. Like, literally. Yeah, this is very real. And it's scary. It's something that we don't want to believe. It sounds a little bit too over the top or a little bit too crazy, even for the bad guys. But it's real. And once you open yourself up to the idea of understanding how far and to what lengths these people, and in some cases, these entities that work with these people have gone to not only control humanity, but to totally take us over. Body, mind, and soul. Body, mind, and soul. They want it all, baby. They're playing for keeps, but their days are numbered. It's so crazy because I just heard a video before I started to tape. This guy's like me, not like I used to be with my million listeners plus. He's on a small network now, or his own network now, or whatever it is. And he had like 5,000 hits maybe on this video that he played. But he gets information from source that backs up everything that I've said, and he's one of the few guys that is saying what I've said about the alternate timeline. And when I heard that video, I was like, yep, that's more affirmation. And isn't it funny that he's not viral and he's not all TikTok-y and he doesn't have sponsors and he doesn't have 595,000 subscribers? Yeah, because the people that are telling you the real truth are not going to be the overly famous in your face type of people. This is all scripted. It's all concerted. It's all controlled. It's controlled, and it's controlled opposition. They've got their fingers in everything. These saviors on these networks that so many people are listening to and still believing in, this, the MAGA, what is that other, Trust the Plan, you know, all of that stuff, all of those guys that are doing tours, that are making money, that are selling you their t-shirts and their tickets and their vitamins, whatever it is, they are scamming you left and right. And people are starting to wake up to that. People are starting to realize that these conferences and these Charlie Wards and these guy, the cowboy, nice looking guy, seems like a decent person, but this guy with the cowboy hat that's going around doing tours, and is it Trey Howdy or is it Howdy Doody? I don't know. Well, anyway, is that a guy or is that a musician? You got me thinking. But anyway, these people that are coming out here talking about continuity of government, okay? Yeah, there's continuity of government, but some of the stuff these people are touting is utter and complete BS. They want you to be pacified. They want you to trust the plan and do nothing. We've talked about this before. Now it's getting crucial. Now it's crunch time. Now it's time we really need to wake people up and we need to come together. Don't believe everything they tell you as far as all of this stuff's going on. Gitmo, behind the scenes, this one's arrested, that one's arrested. The truth is coming out. Yes, yes. It needs to. It needs to in order for a lot of these guys that have been lying through their teeth to the general public on the alternative side of the spectrum, and most notably the conservative Christian side of the spectrum, are going to be shown to be full of baloney. They're going to be exposed for what they're doing. They are making money off of people left and right. Don't listen to these guys. You're making them rich. Don't you think that your family needs that extra $20 to buy baloney, like physical, literal baloney? Not that that's a great food to eat, but food. Or that $20 can go towards your electric bill that they're raping us on every month. Don't throw it at these jackasses. They are grifters. They are stealing your money. They're stealing your trust. So many of these people are, they're operatives. Their hands are getting greased on the backside and on the front side because they're taking you guys for all you're worth. They're taking your money and they're making a fool out of you. We need to have discernment now more than ever. I've got people that I care about tremendously, that follow people that I'm telling them for years, gently, you might not want to trust that person or those people because they're not all that they seem to be. And by golly, they will just listen to them religiously and take everything that they say as fact. Most of what they say is fact. Because if they took everything that they said as fact, then that would take away their ability in their mind to free think. So they got to disagree with one or two things here or there. Well, they said this. I don't always, you know, maybe agree with that, but I agree with most of what they say. Duh. They're full of shit. For the most part, this is what we need to have discernment with. There is so much deception on the planet right now. They want you to be in fear. They want you to be anxious. These quote-unquote conservative movements are fear-mongering and harvesting your energy almost as much now as the bad guys. It's almost a level playing field when it comes to energy harvesting. Might not think that's a thing. It's real. Witchcraft is real. Ritual work is real. These guys are using the energy too. They're using it to get rich off of your backs when you can't afford to go out and buy decent groceries and have a nice meal. They're out at their lectures having your lobster dinners, enjoying the steaks that you wish that you could have. And you're supporting these guys, buying their products. Shut them down. Take away their money. Cut off the head of that snake. And let's see how many of those guys would still be out there broadcasting if they weren't making any money off of it, or little money. I don't begrudge anybody anything. They've got sponsorship and they're able to pay their bills on their show. That's great. But when they're getting rich off of it, like uber rich, like private planes, vacations rich, there's something wrong with that. I don't begrudge anybody making an honest living, but let it be an honest living. They're no better than these mega churches and these pastors. These, what's that one guy? I can't stand with the big teeth. Looks like a horse. Oh my goodness. Written books, dark hair, prosperity preacher. Boy, can't think of his name right now. I could see his face clearly in my mind, but it'll come to me. They're getting rich off of you. Listen to your heart. Spend some time with me. Let's have an open mind and understand that we are at a crucial time and we need to become solidified as one. They're still creating dissension on that side of the fence. We need to put an end to the genetic mutilation of our children. We need to get these creeps out of our country that don't belong here, that are imploding our country from within. We need to respect other people's rights within reason. They don't have the right to tell me that I have to respect what they want over what I believe or what I think is right. I've been saying it for years. Your rights end where mine begin. It should be a cohabitative effort. It should be a collaborative effort. And if everybody came together and put all their differences aside, black, white, red, green, purple, rainbow, whatever, if you're an adult, I don't care what you do, as long as you're not hurting anybody else. Don't be touching the children. Don't be hurting people. Don't be selling drugs that can kill people. Don't be bullying people online with hate speech. And that's hate speech, okay? What we do here is comedy. It's a little raw. It's a little bitey-bitey. But you wouldn't want it any other way. If I were to sit here in a monotonous tone and drone on for 3 hours, like some of the other radio hosts that I can mention, you wouldn't be listening. You'd be falling asleep. I try and keep it interesting. And I try and keep it fun. And know that there's nothing with an essence of evil. I'm going to shoot it straight. It's not always going to be gentle when I find out that people, children are being hurt. Elderly are being hurt. Why are our veterans not being taken care of? Why are people in this country struggling for health care and to have food when they've worked all their lives for this country? And we have other people that are not from here, that would kill you as soon as look at you, that would spit on your flag, burn your flag, and they're getting a ton of money every week. Yeah, those are the things. The obvious things are what I'm against. And I'm against evil. I'm against witchcraft. I'm against ritual worship. I'm against anything that hurts anybody else. You're entitled to believe and worship however you want, as long as you're not hurting anybody else. But when you're using witchcraft and ritualism to try and sway other people's mindsets, to deceive them, to have them unknowingly and unwittingly at times engage in something that's inherently evil, yeah, I got a huge problem with that. And I'm going to buck that all day long. I wanted to take a few minutes and talk to you tonight as you're on your journey about the importance of nature in your life and how beneficial it can be for your progression. While we know that our source, God, is within us, we are also taught to exemplify the ways in which Jesus lived. Becoming in tune with nature is an integral part of becoming part of the whole. In totally embracing and fully encompassing the energy of the planet, not just other people, but the creatures and the life forms that exist and cohabit with us as part of our world. The energies that we are able to transfer and the healing that we are able to receive from both plants and animals in nature is not only a miraculous gift that we've been given, but it's something that I believe is truly a very important part, not only of our spiritual development and our mental and emotional well-being, but also part of what helps us to realize how connected we are truly all to each other in every form of life. Shelters are overrun. Cruelty to animals is at an unprecedented high. Man-created wildfires, natural disasters, and development of our wildlife creatures and vegetative habitats have placed extraordinary pain and suffering on our wildlife and annihilated our plants, our flowers, our trees. While animals and plants can heal us and we can use them as food source, we can also heal them. If you get a few moments, research plants and music, plants and how they feel pain, plants and how they thrive when someone speaks lovingly and positively to them or plays music for them versus if someone speaks negatively to them and insults them. And the sounds and energy waves that have been recorded when they've been chopped or hacked or traumatized. I encourage everybody to get a small houseplant, even a clipping in a paper cup from a friend, or pick one plant or variety or species of a bush or wildflower outside your home and spend even 5 minutes, just a little bit of time each day, cultivating, watering, talking to that plant. It could even be a tree outside. If you live in the city, do it silently so your neighbors don't think you're nuts. You can even measure its growth and keep a journal, but see what you get from it. Touch its leaves and get used to feeling the transfer of that energy. I invite you again to adopt an animal from a shelter, and if you can't do that, find an animal in nature and develop a bond with it, whether it be a crow, a squirrel, a chipmunk, a bunny, a raccoon, a baby fox, whatever. Earn and gain its trust. Take note of their individual personalities just like people have and experience the symbiotic flow of energy back and forth between you, especially when they allow you to touch it. We've talked before about the benefits of having a cat or a dog as a pet, the energetic flow, how they can heal you, how they can sense if you're sick, how they can warn you of danger, see things that you can't energetically that may be in your living space, the love and affection and loyalty that they share with their whole little bodies, and the energy and the love that you can share with them, what you can bring to enrich their lives. And this can be true for any wild animal as well. Pick one creature or a handful, but at least pick one. Save at least one animal's life, or at least help to ensure its survival if it's outdoors, to make its life a little more comfortable. I promise you, if you go at it wholeheartedly and earnestly, the benefits that you will receive will be beyond your wildest expectations. You'll have a friend. You'll have something that's a form of companionship if you're normally alone. You will discover qualities that you never thought existed from a creature that you may have always taken for granted as just part of the landscape. But most importantly, you'll feel the energetic transfer and you'll be able to communicate with that creature telepathically with practice. So you're not only forming a bond, but you're developing your spiritual tools as well. You will be able to interpret their warning signs of danger, observe how they prepare and react for weather changes, and discover and hone and fine-tune abilities inside of yourself that you never possibly knew that you had. I want you to practice sending it energy and receiving its energy as well. So you get to the point where you can think about it and it will come outside your window or to your door. Or if it's a pet inside, come to your side when they're in another room. You'll be able to feel their frustration, their hunger, their fear, their happiness. And then branch out and practice with different species or a multitude of the same species and see if you get the same results. From the time that he was born in the stable, Jesus embodied the love and respect for animals and plants. The time that he spent alone in the wilderness among wild animals and plants, living peacefully amongst them. His many teachings and stories, his parables, had lots of examples that were drawn from nature, whether it be birds or flowers, and it showed his deep respect and understanding of the world around him. And he also emphasized God's wanting us to care and provide for animals, especially birds. And what he had said at one point was that if God shows respect to such seemingly insignificant creatures, then humans must be that much more valuable to him. The very fact that he was birthed in a place where animals were raised, in amongst them, the fact that animals were able to witness the miracle of his birth, coexisting peacefully in that instance with the humans, is a fact that some people may not have thought about when they read their Bible. Typically, it's emphasized that he was born in a form of ostracization. There were no rooms at the inn, so that's where Mary was forced to give birth. But think about it from a positive perspective. He was born amongst God's creatures. Is it possible that they provided some form of protective energy and or a loving, calm environment in order for Mary to give birth? The animals would have sensed what was going on because it's something that's innate inside of them. And animals are very empathetic and intelligent. Simply from them reading the room and the smells of childbirth, they knew what was going on and the Holy Spirit was present. So you know that they felt an otherworldly energy that they might not have been able to identify with, but yet felt comfortable with. And while plants don't have souls, but they are living, animals do. What if they're able to feel the Holy Spirit energy all the time? What if those things that they look at, that they can see that we can't, are angels, as well as negative entities that flit through our environment from time to time? Much like a child or a baby before they hit school age, knows coming out of the womb that they can see and sense things that those of us that are adults and are closed off cannot see or sense. They have imaginary friends. They tell us stories about things and people that come to visit them. And then we indoctrinate them and we tell them, oh, that's so cute. You have an imaginary friend, if we want to indulge them, or stop that. That's silly. You know that there's nobody over in the corner or under the bed because if mommy or daddy can't see it, then it's not real. That doesn't work with animals. I can't tell you how many times my puppies have been sitting with me on my big comfy couch when I'm having my cup of coffee, talking to my cannolis even. And sometimes when it's just us in the privacy of my home, myself and my animals, they look at something that I cannot see, but I can sense it. And they smile. They literally break into big grins and smiles and look kind of excited and stare at it in awe. Their eyes get really big, or they simply stare at it curiously, calmly, but lovingly. There's no malice. There's no evil. They're mostly smiling. Tails are wagging. And while I can't always see the energy, I can definitely feel the energy. There are pressure changes. Sometimes there are little pops in the air. And if I can feel that, we know for sure the animals can. Well, they're reacting to it, so it's obvious. Plants are also susceptible to energy, as has been proven scientifically. Test it yourself. Play music for your plant. Talk to your plant. Touch its leaves and thank it for being there and compliment it. Watch it grow and thrive. If a plant is housed in a lethargic, dirty, stagnant area where moods are typically dark, depressed, anxious, and sad, they will not thrive. They will appear sickly if they live. If your plant suddenly becomes sickly, close your eyes, visualize the plant in your mind's eye, focus your energy outward toward it, and ask it what's wrong. Ask it what it needs, and give it to it. Sit in silence, and you will get an answer, as long as you're in tune with that plant and with the energy around the plant. and the energy in your home. Develop solid bonds with these animals. This is going to be inherently important down the line, but it's also going to help you today and each and every day become more empathetic, aware of your surroundings, in tune with nature, and truly one with the environment around you. This is the way that we were created to live, and we can go so much farther if we do this. If we believe that it's just a plant or it's just an animal and it has no bearing on our life and there's no energetic transfer, you might want to get comfortable with that other timeline that we talked about. Hopefully you're practicing with the elements as we've talked about in previous shows. Can you move those clouds yet? So send these creatures love and healing, the plants too, and concentrate and really feel what you get back as you earn their trust. Again, scientifically speaking, cats and dogs have been proven to heal humans. All animals can send healing energy, just like we can send it back to them and to other humans. The difference is because of how they're built innately and naturally, they're able to feel it. As a funny aside, I did see a social media post the other day of someone that I used to run the same circles with back when I was doing the circuit. She wasn't in my direct circle, but she was a shop owner on the periphery, and I've met her before. We've had some encounters, brief. She actually developed a professional website and is gathering momentum and becoming a little bit more notoriety based. And she actually put a post up about how she attuned an animal with Reiki energy, master Reiki energy. In other words, not used Reiki energy to heal the animal, but literally, she claims, attuned the animal so that they could be a Reiki master. In essence, they could transfer the Reiki energy. That's bogus. Not only is it bogus, it's ludicrous. The things that people will believe blows my mind. It's not only a common sense issue. These are the issues that I tell you about to use your head, think about it, pray about it, use your discernment. Animals cannot be attuned to be Reiki masters. Animals have an innate and natural sense and ability to send energy and to heal, but they cannot be attuned with Reiki energy to become healers. When I visited her shop years ago, the energy there was not positive. There were Reiki shares and Reiki circles being done on the premises at that time. I did not have a good overall feeling at all. And I think I went in the shop twice over the course of 15 years. And it was never a positive energy. In fact, people like that tended to get very defensive when I would walk in and standoffish and nervous. And see, there again, depending on your thought processes and what you believe about Reiki energy, it's supposed to be a pure source, something that should be based in love, in compassion for our fellow humans, to better ourselves and each other. It should be a collaborative effort, and everyone should come together and be positive, but that wasn't the case there, I can assure you. Quite frankly, it felt more like a competitive edge and good versus evil. And yet, like so many others out there, people hang on every word, take everything that she says as faith, and she's trying to promote herself as someone who can teach you how to be successful in your Reiki practice. Well, good for her. I hope that works out for her. I hope that everybody who chooses to join her classes, before they choose to join her classes, get some real sense of discernment, because you need to be practicing any sort of healing energy with the highest good and the utmost pure intentions in your heart. You may be able to BS people, but you can't BS the source, the creator. Having a somewhat or semi-successful practice does not make you a legitimate person. So on a different note, the internet's gone crazy this week about Ozzy's funeral and all the rituals that were involved in all the satanic practices that were done at his ceremony. It was a ritual. We knew this, just like we know what the Super Bowl halftime shows are about. Rather than investigating the ritualistic things that happened at the ceremony and who was there and what they represented and the hand signs they were throwing and all of that, I chose to spend my energy just praying against and nullifying any ritual work and spell work that was done during the funeral, both by anybody who was in attendance and also anybody that was using the ceremony energetically for purposes that were not of the highest intent. My little cannolis are super smart, and they understand the fact that just because somebody has a stage persona and they create the image of themselves to appear one way to achieve fame and notoriety doesn't necessarily mean that that's what they truly believe in their hearts or in their private lives. And let's look at Alice Cooper, for example. He's a Christian. Did you know that? Well, now you do. And I'm going to share part of a YouTube video that I found about Ozzy that may very well surprise you as to what his core beliefs may have been. Listen to this. This is Dylan Novak, aka the Celebrity Evangelist, from, it was put out by Adrian Bankart. And I wanted to let you know that I did take two clips from the interview. You can go listen to the full show. It's called What Ozzy Osbourne Said About Being Christian and the Bible Before Death.
He was very kind to fans.
You brought this Bible with Ozzy Osbourne's name imprinted on it.
So I walk up to him, and every time I go to meet a celebrity, I do my research, which we'll talk about here in a minute. So I knew where Ozzy stood spiritually. Of course, Geezer Butler is the lyricist for most of the Black Sabbath music, but they have a song called After Forever, which talks about, can our souls be saved? So in an interview with The Guardian, this was back around, I think it was 2014, he brought up, he said, I identify more as Christian than anything else. And then in that same interview, he also said, I'd love to read the Bible more, but it's written in a language I don't understand. Which the only way I could interpret that was, one, Ozzy's dyslexic, or was dyslexic. So already he had that challenge. Plus, it was written in Old English, so it was harder for him to comprehend that. So I got him a New Believer's Bible, which is an NLT, just much more modern English. So I mentioned that. I shook his hand, told him, the reason I came to meet you today is because I love and care about you and your soul, and I got you this gift. And he was, okay, well, let me see it. So I pulled it out, and as I was pulling it out, I was telling him what I just told you. I read this interview where you said this. And he goes, yes, yes. And I said, well, I got you this. And he said, well, I still won't be able to understand it. And I said, no, it's a modern English translation. And he opened it up. He immediately turned to where the Gospels were, and he looked at it for a moment. And he looked back up at me, and he said, I can understand that. Thank you. And he just had the sweetest smile on his face. He shook my hand. Thank you so much for coming to meet me. I said, of course.
And here's the second clip.
Jack comes and taps me on the shoulder. He goes, excuse me, were you in Philly last week? I said, yeah, that was me. And he said, you're the guy who gave my dad the Bible, aren't you? I said, that was me. He said, so I first want to tell you a cool story about that and also tell you how much dad loved that. He said, we were putting him on the elevator at the end of the night, which keep in mind also, because Ozzy was calm, took his time with everybody, he was at this event 5 hours after it closed. He didn't go up to his hotel room until about 2 a.m.
Wow. Right?
And he knew that was going to happen. But again, he just had that loving caringness about him and that was one thing Jack and I said. He said, thank you for not seeing my dad as just this evil person. I said, listen, I've seen evil people. I've been around evil. Your dad's not evil. He's a big teddy bear. He said, he is. It's a facade. He said, the media, back in the day, they really pushed the dark image, and he embraced it and branded it. It's just it's a character. He said, so we're getting on the elevator, and he said, where's my Bible? I want my Bible. And he said, the look on everyone's faces, like the convention people, he said, even my face was like, Ozzy Osbourne just say he wants his Bible? He said, he was very insistent. He said, then it clicked with me. Oh, the guy I met, that's it. And he said, no, Dad, it's down in the autograph room. We'll get it tomorrow. And he goes, no, I want it now. The convention was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The family was going to be there all 3 days. Ozzy was just doing Friday and Sunday. He was taking Saturday off the rest. So Ozzy made the point, I want to look at that tomorrow on my day off. So Jack said, I went downstairs, helped him find the Bible, and I brought it back up. And he goes, there was other stuff. There was a letter in another book. So we go back down, we get it, we come back up. And he said the next day, he said, we came up to take a break from the show around lunch. And he said, Dad brought it up and said, did you all get something like this? And he said, we all got something. He said, so we all started round table Osborne family lunch talking about the gospel material. And he didn't go into detail what they talked about, what they said, but he said, my dad has gotten a lot of gifts through the years. He doesn't keep many gifts because he's not a pack rat. There's nowhere to put it. A lot of it's just random stuff. He said, but that is one of his most prized possessions. It's on his nightstand. And he said, and anytime somebody's been coming to the house asking, hey, how was the show? He's like, oh, Sharon, which again, I can hear it. You know, go get my Bible. And you'll show him his name on the cover, be like, look how easy it is for me to read this and understand it. And I was like, man, that is just makes you want to cry because this goes not just for celebrities, but people we meet in day-to-day life. You don't always know this side of heaven. You sharing the gospel or praying with somebody or telling them about Jesus, you don't know the impact it's had on them.
So this for me, and I hope for you too, serves as a reminder that we have two different facets of the media who are both vying for our attention and our support. So while I'm not going to deny that rituals went on during that funeral time, was it from his family or from the people that attended? Or was it the pact that needed to be fulfilled because he was famous and he did things to become famous and now he had to finish the deal by allowing the energy and all of the fanfare. Think of the millions of people that mourned his death all over the planet. That energy was able to be used for some sort of ritual somewhere. And it may be that he had to fulfill that because that was the deal that he made when he signed a music contract X amount of years ago. Or maybe the band members. Or maybe the music company. It's there. It's in your face. But things are not always as they seem. And that's why we need to use discernment. Because if this radical Christian movement had their way, everything and everyone, it seems, would be labeled demonic or evil. That wasn't flying a MAGA flag or buckling under their potential spiritual bullying. They're preying on you just as much as the other side, and it's time we dust off our sandals and leave them alone. Like proverbial dragons on their hordes of vitamins and supplements that they were trying to sell you guys and their subscriptions at 30% markup apiece. You can do the research and find all of these things on your own, cheaper, without their label, without their promotion code, and possibly even purer. There are a couple of really good ones out there from these guys, but stop supporting them. Stop sending money to their program. Stop going to their rallies. Stop buying their tickets. Stop making them rich unless you are 100% committed to the fact that you know they're telling you the absolute truth to the best of their knowledge. Spirituality, to some extent, has become a laughingstock and a joke in our country. We have people worshiping Taco Bell. Let's listen to this clippy.
And guess what they did? They literally held a candlelit vigil for Taco Bell. I cannot make this stuff up.
I can't eat here.
Others had a lot to say.
I felt like I lost a family member.
Well, I'm hoping we get closure tonight and we can move on to the next cause. But we're here supporting Taco Bell tonight, and that's what's important.
I'm hurt. My feelings are hurt. I gotta go all the way to Perry Hill to get some Taco Bell. Hurts my feelings.
Taco Bell, to the things you do for the ones you love. In this case, the one you love being Taco Bell.
Baja Blast. Baja Blast. Baja Blast.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life.
Speaking of religion, let's get one Sharia clip out of the way. I'm not going to overdo it this week. And then we're going to talk about how the Catholics want a new pope. And sandwiched in between those two clips for a triple play, there's a video about the colors of the flags in the Middle East and how they relate to prophecy. I think I've played one similar to this before, or maybe the same one, but I think it bears repeating. So the first video, we have official Sahar TV. Then we have Justin Linkpin or Gilpin. I think it is. And then the final one is from Raging West. And we had a musical clip from Prince so far, and also The Knack will be coming up right about now. Not my, woo! Not my Sharia. Go home, Sharia.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun.
That ought to scare them away.
When Muslims go and conquer the adjacent country, what do? We kill them all?
No.
The Prophet says, the first thing you do is call them to Islam. If they accept it, leave them. Khalas, they're Muslims, we go. If they refuse, then tell them to pay taxation, jizya. If they refuse, then we have to fight. And if we fight you, then we capture you, you become our slaves, and we take your land, and you take your... Because you refuse, I give you two good options.
You give me two good options. Either convert to Islam, pay ridiculous amounts of money, or we kill you. Yeah, two good options, perfectly fine, perfectly acceptable.
You've got to hear this.
The book of Revelation, especially the first four horses of the apocalypse. The question is, why these four? Why these colors? There is information contained in the colors. God is not trying to confuse us, and he's not just throwing colors out there. There must be a rational justification for why he picked these four. Take a look at your screen. What do you see? Here's the symbol, the national symbol of next door neighbor to Israel, Jordan. What colors do you see? Can you help me here? White, red, black, and green. And then if you go next door inside the territory of Israel, there is the Palestinian, symbolized by that flag. What colors do you see on the national flag of Sudan? Let's go to Kuwait. Let's go to the United Arab Emirates. What colors do you see? All right, well, let's just go to Libya because it could just be coincidence here. Okay, let's go to Afghanistan. What do you see? Let's go to Syria. What do you see? Let's go to Iraq. What do you see? I wonder if God has successfully communicated something.
Then pack it up, son. Get out of my car.
Yes, this is very serious. Now we are witnessing an invasion. They are not refugees. No, this is an invasion of mass Islamization of Europe, which already went on for at minimum 50, 60 years, Islamization in Europe. But now it is in mass. It is very evident. And so this is a global political agenda by the powerful of the world to destroy Europe culturally and religiously. I mean, to destroy Christianity in ultimately in Europe with the help of the Islamic, massive Islamic population. And I was reading recently an article of a sociologist who made a calculation that maybe in 30 or 40 years, when it's now going on, so the majority of the population of Europe will be Islamic. Europe will be Islamic when this will go on, because the European people have almost no children, one or two. The Muslims there, they have 5, 6 to 10 children. Sorry, it is, you can only make mathematics, and then you can see that they will be in the majority.
Well, you see, that's the funny thing. I can't have a baby because I have a 12:30 lunch meeting.
I threw a little bit of Daryl Singletary in there for you, but that was a bishop that the Catholics want to have made the new pope. His name is Athanasius Schneider. The next one from Minds of the Aware is lengthy, but it's RFK talking about why China and Gates are able to buy up all of our farmland. You really need to listen to this.
Hey, everybody. Here I am in Sherwood, Connecticut, on Sherwood Island. There's a little woodchuck hall. Shirley Troubadour asked a question about why Gates and China are being allowed to buy up all the farmland in our country. And I'm going to tell you something that I had an experience with. I spent many years, about 20 years, doing the factory farms, the big hog farms, and the big chicken producers like Tyson and Bo Pilgrim and Frank Perdue. But Smithfield Foods was the biggest pork producer. And Smithfield came to the state of North Carolina. They built a slaughterhouse that could process 30,000 pigs a day. And then they had a partner named Wendell Murphy, who was in the state senate. And he passed 28 laws in the North Carolina state senate making it illegal to sue a factory farm. He left and went into partnership with Smithfield, created a way to raise pigs instead of raising them on farms, to raise them in warehouses called Murphy 1100s. And they dropped the price of pork from 60 cents a pound to 2 cents a pound. It put out of business all 28,000 independent hog farmers in the state of North Carolina, and it replaced them with 2,200 factories, all of them either owned by Smithfield or contracted to Smithfield. The only farmers who could stay in business were farmers who signed that contract with Smithfield to mortgage their homes, to put those big hog sheds, the Murphy 1100s, on their property. And then they lose all control. They become serfs on their own land. Smithfield dictates all their farming practices. It gives them the food. It delivers the piglets, picks up the grown animals, and brings them to slaughter. They put out of business 28,000 farmers. And they control now 80% of the hog production in North Carolina. Because they dropped the price in North Carolina, Iowa had to adopt the same system, had to cave in to Smithfield. They ended up taking control of 80% of the hog production in our country. Then they sold themselves to China. So now China owns all that hog production in America, and it controls our landscapes. And that's the end of Thomas Jefferson's vision of an American democracy rooted in tens of thousands of independent freeholds, each one owned by family farmers, each with a stake in our system of government. And that's why all of this industrial agriculture not only gives us substandard food, but they're also taking control of our landscapes, and that is a huge threat to American democracy.
White man is the only thing in the world worth working for, worth fighting for, worth dying for. Because it's the only thing that lasts.
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at @MAGGIE_HEART at outlook.com to get it fixed.
Conspiracy theory time. This one from Lavia Health Shop, RFK again. This was an older speech where he told everybody what they wanted to do to us. And after that, I'm going to play the clip that I told you about at the beginning of the show regarding how they want to interface us into technology. We are the battery. Here we go. First, a little Nessa Barnett.
What we're saying today is what I call turnkey totalitarianism. They are putting in place all of these technological mechanisms for control that we've never seen before. It's been the ambition of every totalitarian state from the beginning of mankind to control every aspect of behavior, of conduct, of thought, and to obliterate dissent. None of them have been able to do it. They didn't have the technological capacity. Today, the mechanisms are being put in place that will make it so none of us can run and none of us can hide. Within 5 years, we're going to see 415,000 low-orbit satellites. Bill Gates says his 65,000 satellites alone will be able to look at every square inch of the planet 24 hours a day. Digital currency that will allow them to punish us from a distance and cut off our food supply. Every right that you have is transformed into a privilege contingent upon your obedience to arbitrary government dictates. It will make you a slave. And what do we do about this? What do we do? We resist.
All right, pay attention to the next one from One King of the Street.
6G is coming in 2030. That's the public launch. But testing began years ago in controlled zones across Virginia, Osaka, and EU smart grids. And here's what they won't tell you. 6G doesn't connect your phone. It connects you. In 2023, DARPA and ATIS ran a closed pilot across federal buildings in Northern Virginia. The tech? 6G presence nodes, powered by terahertz bands that don't just transfer data, they mirror you. Each user's gait, tone, even heart rhythm became part of the signal loop. The system adjusted light, sound, even push notifications based on real-time biometric drift. It's called adaptive ambient sync, and it's not theory. In the Arlington Test Zone, over 200 participants unknowingly entered what the internal logs labeled a behavioral sync cluster. Result? 68% changed walking pace within 90 seconds. 52% began mirroring posture. Average voice pitch dropped 12 hertz across the zone without prompt or audio cue. This isn't cellular, it's presence modulation, backed by Samsung's 6G white paper, verified in Hexa-X test beds, and buried in Appendix 9 of the Defense Communications Futures Report, black-barred until last quarter. You were never the user. You were the interface. Want out? Disrupt the loop. Delay touch input. Break rhythm. Avoid high-band hotspots during emotional peaks. Because with 6G, you're not browsing. You're being tuned. Tuesday accessed the relay logs. They weren't encrypted, because they assumed no one would read drift code but them. Now you have.
Next from Rabbi Lawrence, if this is true, is it indicative of Trump really working behind the scenes to overthrow toxic governments and install leaders who truly care about their people?
There's tweets out. Who actually is effectively running Iran is the military, and the incredible part, if true, and again, I hope and do pray that it is, the military in Iran are in direct contact with the United States government. And this is all the ceasefire and everything else, and possibly the reason that Trump got upset with Bibi Netanyahu, although it was Iran who broke the ceasefire, was that because there are factions and the Iranian military have now taken control, and there is happening right now a regime change in Iran, and the change that we're going to see, God willing, because the people of Iran, as I've said many times, the Persian people are fantastic people. And those, unfortunately, who are supporters of the Ayatollah, their minds have been hijacked, unfortunately. It's like being in a cult. You've all seen the cult documentaries. That's what these people really are. And so by them coming in and taking over, this could lead to an unbelievable peace in the Middle East, a complete isolation of Hezbollah and Hamas, and definitely the Houthis as well, who are just acting on the behest of this radical Islamist, jihadi, messianic death cult regime that's been in control since 1979. I hope and I pray that it is true. And if it's not...
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on.
The next one from Keep6IX Solid and Candace Owens. What would you do if the grid went down? We've talked about this before.
What would you do if they brought the power grid down? And by they, I mean if the government purposefully brought the power grid down. I'm not asking that question for fun. I'm asking that question because the World Economic Forum is predicting that a cyber pandemic, you can look this up, been running exercises about it this year, is inevitable. You're probably saying, what is a cyber pandemic? It doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, what are we even talking about? Well, first and foremost, the reason I'm even paying attention to the World Economic Forum and their exercises is because they notoriously, in 2019, ran an exercise for a coronavirus pandemic that oddly all became true. I mean, without one slight difference, they said that the coronavirus was going to escape from a wet market in South America. Of course, when the coronavirus swept the world in 2020, they said that it escaped from a wet market in China. You can still look that up, by the way. That's not a conspiracy theory. They simulated that coronavirus pandemic. It was the World Economic Forum in collaboration with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, in collaboration with Johns Hopkins University. And the website is still up, and they say, you know, the coronavirus pandemic is inevitable. And then, boom, it happened the very next year. So people say it's a conspiracy theory to believe that they knew that the coronavirus pandemic was going to happen. You don't have to believe it was a conspiracy theory or you can believe it wasn't a conspiracy theory. It's up to you. I don't really care. The point is that they made the prediction, they called it inevitable, and then it happened immediately. So for me personally, that signals to me that I should probably pay attention the next time the World Economic Forum makes a prediction and calls it inevitable. And lo and behold, they are predicting that a coronavirus pandemic, a cyber pandemic, pardon, is going to happen and that it is once again inevitable. So if you look into the exercise that they have run this year, I believe they run it in July. They've been meeting and talking about the cyber pandemic, what it will look like. Essentially, their idea is that they're going to have to sanitize the internet because a bug, think of this as like a coronavirus for your computer, is going to sweep globally, and the only way they're going to be able to stop this bug from infecting everything is to effectively shut down the internet, right? And they were talking about bringing down the power grid in an effort to do this. So imagine the government bringing down the power grid, and you would not have access to anything that required an electrical charge.
New segment for tonight, anyway. Coffee.
Please, 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 please.
How many cups have you had this morning?
None.
Plus?
Five, but yours is better.
You have a problem.
Yes, I do.
Junkie.
Angel, you've got wings, baby.
Generation Z, in order to combat high coffee prices, has discovered a brand new trend, the home cafe, where they, let me make sure I have this right. Yes, they invite their friends over to have coffee at home, or at least in their tiny apartments. And this is a new trend. It's only a matter of time in order to combat high eating out prices, they discover a new home restaurant trend where you make dinner at home in your kitchen. Zoomers are the boomers of millennials.
When you tell people that drink, oh, I don't drink, they're like, oh yeah, more for me. I like that attitude. Coffee people are not that way. I'm pretty convinced coffee is a multi-level marketing scheme. They're like, hey, good morning, would you like a cup of coffee? And I'm like, no, thank you, I don't drink coffee. And they're like, oh, so you just wake up? So I avoid coffee shops. But I was going to a friend's house, and I sent them a text of like, hey, I'm on my way, let me know if I can stop and get anything, right? And then we all send that text, and immediately after we send it, we're like, if they make me stop and get something. And that friend texted me back, 100% iced coffee. Which I now understand was that person saying, I 100% want something. That something is iced coffee. But I do not drink coffee, so I thought 100% iced coffee is how you call it. I thought the percentage was in it. Don't fucking laugh! Don't laugh! It made sense to me. I'm like, milk's been doing percentages for decades, you know? Dog's paying for 2% of milk, where's the other 98%? I started having false memories of being in coffee shops and seeing people being like, Americano, 80-20. I'm standing in line, I finally get to the front of the line. Very nice barista's like, what can we make for you today, sir? And I was like, 100% iced coffee. And he did nothing. He didn't press a button, he didn't look at his other worker and go, make it! Or whatever they're... He looks at me and he goes, what did you say? And I'm like frazzled and I'm like, oh, I didn't go hard enough. So I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I want a 100% iced coffee. Fucking idiot. And he goes, sir, I have 0% idea what you're asking. Because if I give you 100% coffee, it's not iced. And if I give you 100% ice, you have no coffee. What are we doing? And what we decided on, him and I as a team, I would be purchasing a large cup of coffee. I would be purchasing a large cup of ice. I would be purchasing a third empty cup to do the math in.
Okay, that was hashtag Brown and comedian Zach Toscani. Gen X had to take a break this week because we are out of time, but here's a clip from my good buddy Pat Carr. The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. That's my show for tonight, folks. Hope you all had a great time. Thanks all for listening, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.